Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. I have such a great show for you today, and I'm really excited about it. Now, this was the show that was supposed to take place on September 23rd, but my guest had an emergency, and to all our disappointment, was not able to be on the show. But he is here with us today. Today we have hostage negotiator Vincent Guastamacchia. Now, Vince, and we're especially going to be talking about his experiences with narcissists, which is something that many of you will be very interested in, and you won't want to miss 1 minute of this show. Vincent was promoted to detective in 2002. He is a retired detective and hostage negotiator. with the New York City Police Department. The Detective Bureau, where he was assigned as an investigator, his responsibilities included solving crimes like missing persons, robberies, larcenies, burglaries, and assaults, both shootings and homicides. His most notable investigative assignment was with the Major Case Squad, where his investigative responsibilities shifted towards solving high-value white-collar crimes, police-involved shootings, and kidnappings throughout New York City. Vincent personally conducted over 1,000 investigations, including 9 kidnappings, with 100% recovery. This is a really special man, and he has so much to share with us today, so I want to get started. And I've kept him, excuse the pun, hostage in the queue, so he can't go anywhere. But he's with us right now, and let's get started. Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning, Randy. How are you? And first, I'd like to start off with an apology for missing our last show, and I hope to make it up to the audience.
Oh, you are very welcome, and you know, and I know that you would have been here if you could have. So it's understood. My listeners understand. So thank you for that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into it.
All right. So on top of what you said, thank you very much for the kind words. My experience led me through some investigative assignments, which put me in front of some very good, and I can't think of a better term, or very good criminals. And from what I find is that the best criminals were deemed narcissists. based in Florida, they would say or do anything and try to convince you of anything they can to relieve themselves from the current situation or to get you to believe the nonsense and the terrible lies that they say, that they spew. So as a detective, I had the opportunity to perfect and hone my skills on dealing with criminals, and more importantly, in my retired life and in my company, Perimeter Agency, deal with narcissists and helping clients remove themselves from the situation.
Okay. There's a little bit of outside noise, so you might want to go inside, but let's keep going. Okay. Now, had you had any experience with narcissists prior to having this position?
Not as a detective. I mean, probably through my normal life prior to becoming a detective, and just not realizing who you're dealing with. So that's all. I'm going to move inside.
Okay.
Okay. So probably not realizing my audience dealing with a narcissist. You move through. You wonder, why do these people do this? So why are they saying this? So this doesn't make sense. So it really takes a while to understand your audience, to understand who's manipulating you and labeling it. And then once you label it, you know how to combat it.
Okay. So did it take you a while to sort of put all this together? Because most people feel they have the fragments of evidence, but they don't really know how to put it together. So how did you figure out how to put it all together?
Years of experience.
Okay.
I wish I could say that I put it together right away, but it takes a long time to really understand when, and I kind of phrase it like this: when 2 and 2 does not equal 4, instead of looking at it, scratching your head, just understand that something doesn't add up and try to understand, or don't try to figure it out and remove yourself. I find that that's the best method of handling narcissists, removing the audience so they can't affect you with their words.
That's a really great way to put it, because that is really the only way to deal with them. There's no way to figure them out. And this is what the clients that I work with in counseling, this is what hangs them up and gets them so frustrated, is they want to figure it out. And I tell them, there is no figuring out. There's no logic. It's illogical. So you just have to accept at face value what you're dealing with and then go from there. And that's what you're saying, right?
That's what I'm saying. The reason why they want to work it out isn't really because they really want to understand nonsense. They want to work it out because they're afraid of change, or they're afraid of their lifestyle, or they're afraid of losing what they know. And that's the most difficult point of the negotiation, getting people to move forward and let that person go, the person who's really torturing and tormenting them. It's so hard to get people to let that go. And that's where I focus. I focus on moving forward, moving on.
So you said that they were the best criminals. So what do you mean by that?
I mean the hardest to catch, the hardest to convict, and the most manipulative.
Right.
When you just understand, like when you go to solve a crime, kind of like resolving any situation, you have to get the facts straight. And when dealing with narcissists, it's impossible to keep the facts straight unless they're documented perfectly. Video, audio, don't let them back out of that corner, or don't let them back out of the center of the ring where they like to be. Get them in the corner, keep them in the corner with proof, with truth, with fact. Keep them there. Don't let them work their way out. Don't let them maneuver around you. You have to document the case. So when dealing with narcissists, it was the hardest to document, the hardest. And then now with technology, cell phones, it made it so much easier. Cell phones, video surveillance, it made fighting crime a lot easier. But still, when dealing with a narcissist, you still have to perfect or learn the psyche and learn their motives. And their motives are all over the place.
Right. Right. Can you give us an example of someone that you worked with, dealt with?
Wow. I'll tell you what, let's move on and I'll try to think of something,
okay.
A really good one to document that.
Okay. Okay. So you say remove yourself from the situation. So if you're negotiating with someone, you just can't let them turn your head around. What's the first clue that you are dealing with a narcissist?
A moving target. When they say something and then you perfect that and then you nail that down and then all of a sudden that changes. It's like, wait a second. We've already been through this and we've proven it to be A. And now you're saying it's B, but you just said it was A. What do you mean? Is it A or is it B? When the target shifts, I call it shifty attitude, shifty behavior. When they shift, when they maneuver, when they try to purposely mislead, and all criminals mislead. It's self-defense mechanisms. It's do you really want to go to jail? No. Nobody wants to go to jail. But nobody really wants to own up to their own responsibilities and, lie in the bed that they made. So when really trying to prove fact, narcissists are the hardest to do it with because they move all over the place.
So did you have hostage situations with narcissists?
Most of the hostage situations I dealt with happened to be either suicidal or domestic. It really doesn't matter. Now, when negotiating, trying to gain voluntary compliance is incredibly difficult. Time and words is kind of similar to the Jedi mind trick. Gaining voluntary compliance is very similar. It's planting seeds and moving from one thought to the next, getting the person, the intended person, to try to do what you want them to do and having them think it was their idea. Now, when you can do that, you master the narcissist. You control the narcissist. Because if they think it's their own idea, it's a win-win situation for them, and you get what you want.
So I have so many people that are in the court system, usually custody issues, because of child abuse through parental alienation. And, when there's a separation of a marriage or a partnership and there's a child, the narcissist's complete agenda is to ruin their partner's life, their ex-partner's life. And they'll do it at any cost. And if there's a child, the child will be the pawn in all this. And I have so many people who try to fight this in court and cannot get anywhere. What is your advice to people that are trying to do this?
Well, as far as a parent goes, it's that old adage where two people presented to the king that this was their child, and the king ordered the child to be cut in half. And the real parent said, no, 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 give the baby to the other person. And the king awarded the child to the parent who sacrificed their own feelings for the safety and well-being of the child. I kind of feel that the court system should deal with situations exactly like that. When it's proven that a parent is going out of their way to cause unrest, discomfort, financial instability to their children, it almost proves that we're dealing with someone that does not have the best interests of the child. And whether it's a narcissist or not, I feel that it's selfish when you're thinking of your own needs above the needs of your own child. I try to put everybody's needs before mine. And that's how I move through life. I try to treat people exactly how I like to be treated. And when people don't do that, it's a clear sign that they're dealing with a selfish person and most likely dealing with a narcissist. How do you fight that? With our legal system today, it's nearly impossible. The lawyers and whoever has more money usually wins. Sad.
Yeah. Now, you said you always put people's feelings before yourself. I don't think you truly mean that because that's really what victims of narcissistic abuse suffer from. They suffer from putting everyone's needs before their own. And it's important for that in order for them to heal, they must learn to put themselves first, but not in a narcissistic or selfish way. Self-love is what I'm talking about. So when you say you put everyone's needs before yourself, you would not be able to function the way that you do if you truly were doing that. You have to take care of who you are before you can take care of others' needs. Isn't that true?
Yes, yes and no. In the relationship that I'm in now, my girlfriend's teaching me to put up boundaries. And
yes,
it's something I've never done before. And I never suffered from a narcissistic relationship. I have, quote-unquote, abandonment issues. My father left when I was very young. He abandoned us. So I've always tried to be the man of the family, and I started with my mother, you know, trying to put her needs before mine. And I guess I never recovered from that. But I really feel like I'll always open the door for someone. I'll always let someone go in front of me, always. I don't think it causes me not to function properly. However, I guess I have to look into that more, but I don't know. I don't know. I guess I function properly while putting other people's needs before mine. And don't get me wrong, I spoil the hell out of myself, but I do spoil other people as well.
Okay. See, I mean, that's it. That's it. And boundaries are something that in any childhood situation, abandonment or abuse, it doesn't really matter, is you don't learn boundaries because boundaries are something that are taught to you in childhood by parents. And it's very difficult as an adult to establish them when you weren't raised with them. So that's just something that I just picked up real quick right there. But yeah, and I just wanted to point that out because I don't want my listeners to think, because you, if you have been the victim of narcissistic abuse, it's usually because you let people too far in. And so I just wanted to make that clear. And boundary issues are something that I work with people all the time. So anyway.
Sure, and I'm learning that now, so I agree with you.
Yes, yes. Okay. So what else can you tell us about these people and why our tendency is to deal with them the way we would deal with anybody else, through emotion, through honesty, those kind of things. And when you're dealing with a narcissist, they feed off of emotion.
Yeah.
So, and they feed off of honesty. You can't give them any facts, and you can't give them anything that's on an emotional level, right?
That's correct. I have a friend of mine who's going through, he's in a narcissistic relationship right now. And what I tell him is, always just remove the audience. When they're trying to manipulate you, when they're trying to deceive you, kill them with kindness and walk away. That is the complete disarming tool for the narcissist. If you leave with a smile on your face while they are intentionally trying to mess with you, your day, or your life, deflect. Put a smile on your face and walk away, they will not know what to do with themselves. They're going to be like, what just happened? Like, malfunction. So, does not compute, you know?
Right.
That is how, and that's how to deal with anybody in life trying to mess with you. Do not give them the edge. Do not give them the ammunition to launch an assault at you or to counter assault. Your attack and your strategy should be remove yourself from the situation with a smile and do not let them succeed at what they are attempting to do. And that's whatever it is. But I guarantee you it's nothing good. So smile and walk away and realize they are only trying to mess with you or your life.
Right. And that's good, you know, if people who have not been had long exposure to narcissists that can see these kind of things and don't fall for them. People who have had long exposure to narcissists, either in childhood or through really long relationships with them, are very, very confused because they've been brainwashed and they've had psychological warfare used against them. So there comes a point in which they can't necessarily see if it's the perpetrator or them who's at fault. And after a long period of time, they've been blamed so much that they're not always sure when they see it that they're really seeing it. So once you can separate yourself from the narcissist and you're outside of it, then you can really respond in these ways. It's not always easy. So did you think of a situation that you could share with us? I know we're talking.
Not yet.
Think.
I'm still working on it. I'm trying to think of one that fits most perfect, and I promise you by the end of the show I will have one.
Okay, because we're 21 minutes into the show. I just want to give you a heads up. That's all.
Understood. Yes.
So in your agency, you're now the co-owner of Perimeter Agency. What do you do at Perimeter Agency?
I'm the owner and founder as of June. My partner and I have separated very amicably. So what do we do at Perimeter Agency? One, we are a private investigation and security agency. We deal with personal protection. We deal with home and protection for your family. We deal with criminal and civil investigations. Fraud, a lot of fraud, and a lot to do is what we do with is surveillance. Now, we do surveillance systems for your home, but personal surveillance, like two human beings following another human being to see what they're up to. Now, this is key in dealing with narcissists because now what we're doing is documenting and providing video and audio sometimes. Of exactly what the narcissist says they're not doing.
Okay.
You understand? Like the
yes.
cheating narcissistic husband. So once you provide this documentation, that's the first sign of that's the start of the separation process, getting the person to remove themselves from the situation and understanding that. And to touch on what you were speaking about earlier, where you don't know reality from lies, when the narcissist is just overloading you with lie, 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 you don't know where the truth ends and the lie begins.
Yes.
that's where we try to prove. We try to prove the truth and getting you to understand and bringing you back. Because years of narcissistic abuse most of the time leads to narcissism, or some of the times leads to narcissism, where you're using these same techniques on your boss, or trying to anyway, or on your friends, where you think it's okay, like it's okay to lie, it's okay to mislead, it's okay to be unethical. And that's where I try to reinforce people's ethics and people's sense of reality and understand that it's not okay to deceive. It's not okay to lie. It's not okay to hurt. It's not okay to intentionally mislead. However you want to label it, and people really need to get back to their core values and ethics and I believe ethics have fallen away from the educational system, and I can't understand why. But if you can maintain composure and maintain a strong, positive, ethical way of life, that's the foundation of recovering from a narcissist, I believe anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, I have I share that perspective in one sense. What I find is you go either two ways, one of two ways. Either you become the narcissist and you build this false self and carry that through life without feeling empathy, or you become codependent and you take a very soft approach and you become the pleaser in society, the doormat of society. So I see both, and I don't really see an in-between. It's one way or the other. So, and people who take the doormat approach have a very hard time because they are they become victimized over and over and over again. So, yeah.
I have a good story. I'm ready.
Yay! Let's go.
Okay, so it was set in Harlem, and if you Google Harlem Mother 4-Hour Standoff, you could come across this article, and it was an 18-month-old child. His name was Prince. He was being held hostage by his 18-year-old mother. Her name was Princess. Now, supposedly, the story is that she is delusional, bipolar, manic depressive. So now you're dealing with someone whose feet aren't on planet Earth, or she's pretending. So the story was that Queenie was outside her door trying to get in to kill her baby. So her answer to this was, let me hold a Michael Myers Halloween butcher's knife to my baby's throat for 4 hours while all the police, and I believe she was staying in some sort of a halfway house. So the clinician assigned to that house was the first one to call 911. So with the response time, we probably got there about 45 minutes thereafter and began dialogue. So now you're dealing with someone who either isn't on Earth or is just trying to kill their baby. You really don't know while the negotiation is going on. You know, it's subsequent facts do determine. And then you have she is assigned or prescribed meds, but she's not on them. So now... Where are we? We're dealing with someone who wants to kill their child because of unknown reasons. What do we do? So what we do is we deal with fact and we deal with reality. And everything that I take concepts or parts of a negotiation and I apply it in every getting your child to get dressed, eat breakfast, and get to school is a negotiation. Getting your employees or getting your employers to give you the time off or give someone time off is a negotiation. So you take parts of the negotiation and you bring it into every aspect of life. So what do we do? Begin a dialogue, develop a rapport, bring their feet back to planet Earth, bring their mind focused to you. This woman was so intent on killing her child. We finally got her to put the child down on the bed because there was no talking to her. So during the negotiation, you bring up things like fatigue and stuffy and hot and the child's very heavy, isn't she? Well, let's put the baby on the bed. Let's go over to the window. Let's open the window. And then we set up a tactical intervention where when the woman with the knife was far enough from the baby for the police to enter the room, and that's how we had to intervene on this one. So negotiations, however, can last for hours. Sometimes you don't want them to. It's the same thing with dealing with victims of narcissism. You can stay in that conversation and argue till you're blue in the face. However, you're not going to win. Sometimes you need a tactical intervention, quote unquote, where that tactical intervention would be you, as fast as you can, exiting that conversation. And so based on negotiations and dealing with criminals and dealing with victims, I try to put together a philosophy, a concept that I am not in any way formally educated on, other than real-life practice. you take that.
Wow.
And you try to provide a solution.
Now, when the tactical force came in, did they shoot her, or they were able to just grab her?
No.
They were able to take her alive.
That was, when you do a tactical intervention, they have a ballistic shield that will withstand bullets and knives. And then we have a big, the police use a big instrument. It looks like a big letter Y. You know, it's a long pole. And then you're able to pin someone against a wall without harming them, depending upon how hard they fight back. And then, you know, you move in with the shield, and they think she took a couple of swings at the shield, but we were able to handcuff and remove herself and the child safely. No one was hurt.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's,
Thank God.
And that's why we negotiate. We negotiate to get them to come out instead of to have the police go into the unknown. You deal with fear. You deal with nerves. If that person voluntarily puts their weapons down and opens the door, no one gets hurt.
Right.
Now, if we have to go in, we really do try to not hurt. However, if somebody's attacking you with a knife, what are you going to do? You know, and human and self-preservation is inherent in all of us. It doesn't. You don't just let that go when you put on a uniform.
Wow.
So.
That's crazy, but thank God you were able to do that. That's amazing. Oh, and that baby. How many years ago was this, do you know?
I think it was 2008. I'm not sure.
Okay. So that child is probably 8 years old by now.
Right. I'm actually I'm secretly looking to adopt that child. So.
Oh, my gosh. You'll have to keep us posted on that. That is amazing.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Well, it's not a secret anymore, but.
Okay, well, then I think you're serious about this, Vince.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think you really mean this.
I do.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very cool. Very cool. So, has it always gone your way? I see in my notes that there's been 100% recovery. Of
right.
kidnappings,
and
kidnappings, and hostage situations.
I tell you, I can't take the credit. It's not me. It's so I was fortunate to be trained as a hostage negotiator. That deals with psychological training, procedural training, but most importantly, empathy. Not everybody has empathy. Empathy can be taught. But if you start with a nice base, you really can perfect it. And empathy is like the Jedi mind trick. It's plain and simple. It's time and words get you what you want if you employ it properly. So I was fortunate to be taught the equation, and I know how to implement it. So the entire hostage negotiation team in the NYPD, and I know a majority of negotiators throughout the world, it's not just me. It's the formula. The formula proves success. And it's tested over 40 years. The NYPD hostage team is 42, 43, 44 years. Please don't quote me on that. And I believe they only lost one hostage and one hostage taker in 44 years. So that means and all during the course that I was a negotiator, active in the NYPD, we were 100% successful. So
wow.
I kind of want to take that formula, and I give that to our to my clients, and I teach them how to handle their opponent.
Wow. So do you then help them take these cases to court? Do you back them up that way, or you just give them the information and then – and then, you know, have them get legal advice?
It depends on the situation. I, free of charge, pro bono, I offer advice and the path on how to go about resolving the situation, whatever it is. If it's a court case, absolutely, I never refer attorneys. I'll give you a choice of three or four for you to choose. I'll tell you, look on Google, try to find an attorney you can afford. However, yes, I'm there for whatever it takes to see a successful conclusion.
Now, are you just working in the New York City area, or do you work remotely?
We are we don't have offices all over the world, but we are a worldwide entity through strategic partnerships through a network of negotiators and a network of investigators throughout the world. We're able to help anybody anywhere.
Okay. So if I have, because I come across this a lot, and it's a very, very helpless feeling for me to have a parent who's so despondent because their child has been really stolen by the narcissist, and now the child hates them, and there's so much confusion, and the court system, like I said, is letting them down, and it's just a dead-end situation. And I certainly have tools to help them navigate this process. But for those who actually want to try to take this to court, is there a way for you to investigate and help on that end?
Well, 100% yes. And when dealing specifically with court, there's only one way to combat court when you know it's not going your way, and not when it's not going correctly or properly or as it should. When you know there's outside interference, whether it's money or whether it's corruption, there's only one way to combat it, and that's through publicity. And my agency has a publicist on retainer, and I offer her services to my clients as well. When you have to shed light on corruption, you have to shed light on someone who has been bought or someone who is corrupt. The only way to combat it is with local publicity that really points out when other people are doing what they're not supposed to do. And then people, I'll give you the classic example, a dummy camera over a cash register. The fact that someone thinks they're being watched, they do 100% of the time the right thing. So when you're being watched, it's impossible to be corrupt unless you're a politician.
Yep, can't get them. Can't catch them, no way.
Slippery eels, they are.
Yes, they are. Teflon, truly are. Well, that's
so
really good to know. You know, and if any of my listeners are in this situation, Vince can be reached at perimeteragency.com. That's P-E-R-I-M-E-T-E-R agency.com, perimeter, P-E-R-I-M-E-T-E-R agency.com. Is there another way to reach you, Vince?
That's best, info at perimeter agency as well, or vince@perimeteragency.com is my email address.
Okay.
However, info will get you to my team. info@perimeteragency.com will get you to my team via email. And we will begin. You know, I'll field a phone call immediately, and start the process.
I definitely. I'm thinking in the back of my mind all these people that I would like to go back and, you know, and give this information to. What can a person expect to pay out of pocket for a service from beginning to end for something like this? And I know that's a hard thing to say, but
yes,
yeah.
Well, okay, so first I want to start by saying the strategy and the path is provided free of charge. I'll give you a free consultation. As long as it takes, I try to keep it under an hour because last radio show I received about 50 calls, which I'm very happy about, and I hope to receive 150 more.
Okay.
So I employ an amazing talent pool. They are experienced NYPD detectives, local law enforcement agencies from the surrounding areas, some military, and I believe in you get what you pay for. So in my philosophy as a business owner, how can I ensure that my clients get everything that they can get? I pay them very well. So
okay,
our agents, typically, our standard rate is $150 per hour per agent, whether that's surveillance or an investigation, and security bodyguard is less. I say this to our clients, you can go with someone less expensive less experience, and it's going to cost you twice as much because it's going to take them twice as long. Let us do it right. Let us do it right from the very beginning, and let us do it quickly, and let's move on because I want to help the next person.
Right. You know, and in the case where there is a child, and this is clearly, you know, what I'm speaking of. I know you do more than this, but what I'm speaking of is severe emotional child abuse that the child will suffer for the rest of his or her life as a result of it. Time is of the essence. And so, and I tell people, don't think about yourself in this situation. Think about this child and getting this child back, because the child is lashing out, and it's not a pleasant situation. But I'm so happy to have this, you know, you as a reference to be able to give people that are feeling so desperate. So thank you for that. And for all other reasons,
well.
for those who are listening, if you're having any situation like this where you need Vince's help, there's nobody better. So I urge you to contact him and get him on the case. I mean, come on. this guy's got experience, know-how, and you know, I mean, you've got all the tools. I love what you said about the publicity. And we all think, you know, gosh, I wish I could call the newspaper and just blast this person, but none of us really know how to do that.
And it's whether you know how, whether you go stand in front of your local news with a big picket sign, they don't care. You need a publicist, and I have the best publicist.
Perfect.
So.
Perfect. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Revenge is so sweet when it comes to these kind of people. that's what a lot of people say to me is, I just want to get them back. I just want to get them back.
I call it vindication.
Yes, vindication, exactly. So there you go. If you want to do it, Vince is the man.
Thank you, Randy.
Oh gosh, this time went so fast, but we really are out of time. So I do want to thank you. It's great that you came on and that we finally got this to happen. I will be promoting this show heavily. Now that I know that you were on, I will promote it heavily because I know people will want to hear this. I didn't want to do it beforehand. I was a little gun shy. A little scared,
but I'm going
to promote it heavily now. And I, you know, I think you and I would work real well together. So if you ever need me, you know, I am there to offer my services. I know these people inside and out.
Very good. Understood. Same here. Whatever I can do for you, Randy. I appreciate everything you do.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'm sure we'll be in touch at some point.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being my guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host, author, narcissistic abuse expert, counselor, and other things among that. Signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com, or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.